Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is Lee from Lynn Keys Real Talk. Man, we got a good one for y'all tonight. Talk about some fights that were announced, some other news that came out since our last show. You know, we like to keep y'all in the know, keep y'all abreast on our opinions and what we think going on with the sport. But, hey, I got to introduce my co-host. What's up, Keys, man? How you doing tonight?
What's up, Lee, baby? I'm out here, man. Let's go. I'm doing good, man. Let's get to it.
All right. So, hey, first off, dedicate this show to Tom Brady. Tom Brady retired today after 23 long years in the NFL. Go down as the greatest player to ever do it. I know he's the greatest quarterback to ever do it. So, yeah, we're going to send this show out to Tom Brady, man. Great career. But, Keith, I know we have to talk about this because this is one of our favorite fighters. It was announced that Max Holloway will be returning to the octagon in April to take on Arnold Allen. What was your thoughts when you heard about this fight?
Yeah, shout out to, just to jump on the last point, shout out to Brady. Shout out to Tom Brady, man. I only saw a clip of it. It's been a busy day today. I haven't got to look at it, but my cousin posted a small clip about it. I got to see, you know, a little bit of what he was saying. I didn't see the full thing. But anyway, shout out to Tom Brady, man. That's, you know, amazing career. It was pretty crazy to watch him since a kid, especially. And I remember those early 2000 Super Bowls. I was, like, really little at that time. But either way, it was I was blessed to have grown up watching him, to be honest. You know, and everybody that, you know, all of us were blessed to get to watch him. But I was definitely blessed to get to grow up watching him and have, you know, that Patriots dynasty that he pretty much carried on his back. So shout out to Tom Brady, man, you know. Happy retirement, and I wish him well, you know, for the GOAT. And second, to bounce right to it, Max Holloway and Arnold Allen, that's pretty crazy because, I mean, it's funny because I remember, like, this time last year when he was supposed to fight Volkanovski and in the trilogy, that was supposed to go down in April. And then when they canceled it, Volkanovski ended up fighting Korean Zombie. Holloway was injured. And when they didn't have Korean Zombie yet at that time, Lee, I don't know if you remember it, Keys Colin to step in and fight Volkanovski.
Arnold Allen?
Yo, you know what's crazy? I know, y'all, I know. I always go back to this, but I have to go back to this. I have to. Because there's a lot of these things. And we have to go back to it because there's a lot of things, period, that we call out on this show and that it happens later down the line. Even for this right now, I mean, Arnold Allen, this is a year later pretty much. He's now pretty much at that point. It's fighting Max Holloway, probably going to fight, you know, debatably might fight for the belt soon. We'll see how it shakes out. But he's at that point now. You know, it's pretty much a year later from when, you know, I was saying that and when we were covering it. And there's just a lot of things on this show that we call out, man. So I just got to call a spade on that. We make calls on a lot of things on the show over these years. We've called a lot of things. Jamal Hill becoming champ, you know, we called that on the show. Arnold Allen, you know, last year this time, I said I was calling for – and, you know, he actually responded to the tweet. When I tagged him, I went and found his Twitter. He actually responded. That was before we had our Lee and Keys Real Talk page. We had the – obviously, we had the show. We didn't have the Twitter, but I tweeted him from my page, and I probably have a screenshot in my phone. I remember him responding to that tweet when I was like, they didn't have an opponent yet. Korean Zombie wasn't, you know, maybe he was in the talks, but it wasn't confirmed. And so Volkanovski didn't have an opponent. And I was, you know, I was out here saying, yo, why not have him fight on and down? Yeah, you know, this is the longest winning streak in the division, I'm pretty sure, you know, at that time, and I'm pretty sure it still is. You know, and he didn't have a top guy in his resume. Now he, you know, Calvin Cater, you might want to call that a little fluky. Calvin Cater was, you know, Calvin Kattar, there's an injury in the fight, so you don't really know. But at least he did get to step in there with the top guys since then. Now he's going to fight Max Holloway. So, hey, I thought it would have been cool even back then before he had, you know, a top opponent. Maybe you could say he wouldn't have been ready. Maybe he would have been ready. I don't know. Maybe he wouldn't have been. I don't know. But I'm just saying, y'all, I was calling for Arnold Allen, man. This time last year, I was calling for him to fight for the belt. And now we're talking about him fighting Max Holloway. So, yo, things come back around, man. They come back full circle with this show. That's just how we do it.
Yeah, and I think my pushback against that was I was like, who has he really fought, you know, to deserve a shot at the belt? I think that was my pushback at the time. You know, sometimes you got to look at it, man. Sometimes timing can be everything in this sport. You know, Max had pulled out. He was on a winning streak. You know, we go back to Kenta fighting Khabib for the interim title, you know, things like that. So sometimes timing is everything. But I think this is a major step up in competition for Arnold Allen. We know what Max can do inside the octagon, especially if you let him stand up and box you for a whole fight. I think Arnold Allen, he's going to have to take Max down, make Max fight off his back, make Max get back to his feet. I just don't see anybody outside of Volkanovski beating Max Holloway in this division. You can go up and down this division. Max Holloway has beat some of these guys twice. Some of these guys he's dominated so bad that we had to wonder that they even deserve to be in the same octagon as him. So I think Arnold Allen may present some problems, but Allen definitely has to come with a diverse attack in this fight. He can't just let Max stand up and punch him, because if he does that, I think he'll end up like a lot of Max's other opponents, lumped up and bloody at the end of the fight.
Well, I think one thing to – this is an interesting fight right now, and especially at this point in time, because and this is something, again, I was thinking about this while I was at work, and – the last couple of days and a little bit today, I was thinking about it, and I said, you know what? It's actually funny is that it's an interesting timing for this fight, because the way, especially with the way that year ended up playing out, Volkanovski and Holloway end up fighting, and obviously Volkanovski, you know, pretty much 5-0'd Max. Well, not pretty much. He 5-0'd Max Holloway in that fight. I mean, it is what it is. And then Arnold Allen fought Calvin Kattar, and then Calvin Kattar, I think, tore his ACL or something, and, you know, there was an injury in the fight. So that one, to me, kind of has an asterisk on it. I don't know, you know, how much stock you want to put on that, but, hey, I mean, yeah, the win is there, you know. Y'all know I don't like doctor stoppages. I'm not really into the doctor stoppage thing. I always kind of take issue with that, but, you know, technically he got the win, and so that ended up playing out. But I think the timing of it is funny, because if you look at Twitter, like, I was reading what people were saying about, like, around that fight announcement, you know, the accounts that have put that fight out, and a lot of people are doubting Holloway right now, and I think it's just because of the way it what it comes down to is recency bias. That's what it comes down to, recency bias, because they, you know, we've said it on the show many times, you know, the it's not fully true. It's not, it may not even be partly true, that you're only as good as your last fight. But that is a concept that is true. The concept of us thinking that way and tending to look at fighters that way, even if it's not true, because obviously you can have a bad last fight and then come out and have a stellar performance your next fight. That doesn't mean any, you know, your last fight does not dictate your next fight. So in concept, it is false. But the fact that a lot of us fans, including us, tend to think that way from time to time is true. So when you look at Max Holloway, last time they saw him, they go, okay, Holloway got smashed. He looked terrible. They're going to say he's washed because of that. You know what I mean? He's not washed. He's not washed at all. So Arnold Allen, they're going to say, has been having good performances. He's on an 8 or 9 fight win streak, whatever he's at now. Okay? So they're going to look at it like that. And I honestly would like to know what the odds are. I'm sure the odds are out there. I'll actually look probably when I pass the mic to you, I'll probably look up the odds real quick and just see what the odds are looking like. It would be funny if I'm interested to see how they play with that, because just based off how Holloway looked in his last fight, they're probably going to go off and, hey, man, if y'all want to play it like that, you know, that's a good money play for any better man. But I'm going to just tell you that Holloway is not – you cannot go into this fight thinking that that's – like, Arnold Allen got to fight him as if this is champion Holloway. You know what I'm saying? That's the way you got to look at this fight. Like, you got to fight this – you got to fight this fight like you're fighting champion Holloway, because that's where you're still fighting. You know what I'm saying? It's not or even if you want to say – you got to refer to him as the Holloway Volkanovski to Holloway. That's you got to at least look at it like that, because he was in good form there. He was in very good form, and maybe he wasn't. You know, you could say maybe he wasn't in the same form as some of his title defenses or Aldo. You know, Holloway. Maybe you could say that, but all of them are really good. Either way, you got to fight one of those guys. You know what I mean? Arnold Allen, to me, you got to look at it like you're fighting one of those versions of Max Holloway. Because it's not, you cannot, and the fans have their minds distorted, because like I said, people on Twitter are saying that, you know, Holloway is going to get smashed. I was seeing guys saying crazy things about, you know, Holloway's getting like fed to Arnold Allen and stuff like that, and that they're trying to send him out, and it's like, bro, it's so fickle, you know what I mean? It's so, like, one-dimensional, you know, one dimension, the way that they're looking at, you know, a lot of these guys. And what it is that Holloway is going to show up in one of those forms, and Arnold Allen's going to have to deal with that, you know what I mean? And the question is, can he beat one of those forms of Holloway?
It's funny that people say that you bring that up. I'm looking at his record. He's 16-4 in his last 20 fights. He had one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. He had won 13 in a row until he lost a unanimous decision to Dustin Poirier when he was a short time replacement, moving up a weight class. Excuse me. And then his next three losses are all to Alexander Volkanovski. I thought he won the second fight. And I'll go to my grave saying that I thought he won the second fight against Volk. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But if you look at the names that he beat in his 20 fights, in his last 20 fights, Yair Rodriguez dominated him. Calvin Kattar dominated him. Frankie Edgar dominated him. Brian Ortega mocked him. KO Jose Aldo twice. KO Anthony Pettis, KO Charles Oliveira, who was the 155 champ, submission to Cub Swanson. So people don't shortchange my man Max Holloway. Volkanovski just has his number, just like John Jones has DC number. It's just certain fighters that just going to have your number. You don't know what to do to get past them. And basically, you just have to mop it up as, hey, that guy's just better than me. Like right now, Alex Pereira has Izzy's number. But we'll see what happens in the rematch. Max Holloway is still probably number two featherweight of all time behind Jose Aldo in my rankings. I don't know. Some people might have Volkanovski number two, but I still have Max Holloway number two, just because of his body of work and for the quality of competition he fought. And basically, look at his activity when he was a champ. It seemed like he was fighting, what, twice a year, sometimes maybe three times a year. So I got him number two. If anybody sleeps on Max Holloway, it's because normally – they're probably Volkanovski fans, or like you, they're prisoner of the moment. But I think this is a good fight for him to come back on. I just want to see whether or not he made any changes to his game as far as being on the ground, because we know he can strike with the best of them. But we'll see how it goes when I think it's April 15th, and this is a fight night main event. So I'm looking forward to that one. All right, next up, man. You wanted to talk about Derek Lewis looking like a light heavyweight. I haven't seen any pictures, but talk to us about it.
Yo, I saw this probably, I want to say like a week or two ago I saw this, but somehow it slipped my mind. I meant to bring it up in our last couple of shows, and like I said, it slipped my mind. But I'll tell you this. I almost thought, I was like, I don't know, is it Photoshop? Like, because I saw a picture of him like running down a track or something, or like he was running on a trail. And, bro, he looked like a middleweight. I couldn't believe it. He looked like a middleweight. And I was like, yo, this dude looks like he lost 100 pounds. Like in the first picture. And then I was like, okay, maybe it's Photoshop. Let's see. But then now another picture comes out, and you know it's starting to, you see like I, you know, more legit sources starting to talk about it, and I'm like, okay, like, you know, maybe it's not Photoshop. Like there's other pictures. Like you're seeing him, and clearly that's the, you know, he's in a different place, and he looks. You put it side by side. Man, I think Derek Lewis done lost like 100 pounds, bro. I mean, I'm going to just pull this up, and I'm going to send you it. Must win fight.
Okay.
Shows off. Yep, okay, look at this. Derek Lewis shows off shockingly slim physique ahead of must win fight against Sergey Spivak. Oh, man, bro, I got to get you. Hold on, because that doesn't have a picture of. Oh, we need the side-by-side. 2 seconds. Because I want to send this to you. You got to see this, bro. I can't believe. I'm damn proud of him, though. I'm really proud. Oh, I'm going to send you the first picture I saw. This is crazy. This is crazy. This was posted. Okay. This is the one where I was like, yo, he looks like a middleweight. I'm going to send you this, right? Check. Look at your phone. 2 seconds.
Okay.
Boom. Just you should have that in a second.
Only thing I worry about with him losing weight like that is you still fighting big guys in the heavyweight division. You know what I'm saying? Oh, good
you
gracious.
You see the picture?
Wow. That's Derek Lewis, bro?
That's what I'm saying. That's why I was like, you can see why now. When I saw that, I was like, damn, is that Photoshop? Or is he a middleweight?
He actually looked like he's about maybe 225, maybe 210.
Bruh.
I actually,
I'm
you know what? I'm going to say he's like he about 205, 200. He looks really,
I mean,
really
think,
good.
You think he might have to move down to light heavyweight, bro. go I think I might want to see that. Go win the fight. You know, because you're saying he's still fighting bigger guys. What if he doesn't want to? Maybe that's the key right there. Maybe don't fight bigger guys. Maybe you got to move down to 205, bro. I think so. That might be the key. Go win this fight on Saturday and announce you're moving to 205, bro. That's it. You know,
maybe. I mean, I have no problem with that. You know, but can he maintain his power if he was to go down to 205? Because that's one of the things we think about with Derek Lewis is his power. No doubt in my mind he'll still be able to, you know, box and spar. You know, he is known for good takedown defense. So, but, man, he looks outstanding in this picture, man. Man.
That's what I'm saying. You know what? I think, you know, with him doing that, I think, you know, he'll be able to, cardio, you know, he might have just fixed the cardio issue, you know, that he's probably going to have a much better cardio now, you know. You get yourself in better shape, and then now I think, you know, I think that opens him up to be able to add, you know, other notches to his game, you know. I think you get in better shape, I think that only opens up doors for him, you know, to be able to, and a lot of people say, you know, you can't teach a old dog new tricks, but I don't really believe in that, man. I feel like, you know, if you dedicate to it, you could develop the skills. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want, how can you say that if he were to start going added a different way that he can't gain, you know, a few notches on his belt. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean like, oh, this dude, you know, is going to, you know, he's going to hit, you know, break Oliveira's all-time submission record. You know what I'm saying? We're not saying that, but you could still develop skills just because you're, you know, in your 30s in your career. It's like, oh, he can't learn. It's like, no, I think he can. You know what I'm saying? And clearly right there, I think he you could see he just beat one of his biggest issues to me is the cardio. And I don't think with that, you know, with dropping that weight, I think you'll see it's possible that you could see a Derek Lewis that isn't exhausted, you know, at the start of the second round. You know, I think you could see a Derek Lewis that maybe he's tired in the start of the third round now. Now, I don't know exactly how it would change, but I'm just making a guesstimate. You might see a Derek Lewis that is a three-round fighter now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the cardio thing has been a problem because we always look at him. He normally gets tired, about the middle to late second round. It's normally a struggle for him to get through the third round. He said he definitely don't want to do any more five-round fights. But that's funny because he's in the main event of his next fight, and most main events are five-round fights. So, but maybe you're right. Maybe this is his way of, you know, improving his cardio by losing weight. I just got to see what his performance will look like if he really is, you know, much smaller than he normally is coming into the octagon.
Yeah, man, we'll have to see. I mean, overall, he looks to be in great shape. And shout out to Derek Lewis, man. That's honestly, I'm proud, man, because that's really one thing. And there's another photo that I saw earlier. I wish I could find it. I was trying to scroll through while you were talking, but I couldn't find the other photo. But I at least got you that one. So that one shows it right there. I mean, in the other photo, he looks a little bit bigger. I don't know if that photo is just the angle or the lighting or whatever, but he looks a little bit bigger than that. I don't know if he, like, got to that size and then, like, put a little bit of weight on since then, like you were saying. But the other photo I saw, which was before and after, he looks – picture right there, he looks like a middleweight to me. When you look at the other one that I had, he looks more in the light heavy, you know what I mean? He looks – he could be, like, even maybe 210, you know, 210, 215, 220. In the other photo that I saw. So, yeah. But shout out to Derek Lewis, though, because that's always been my critique of him. You know, it always felt like, you know, besides him being like a big, scary, like boogeyman kind of guy, you know, and I usually kind of steer away from those kind of guys. I like to see them, you know, get defeated. I always just didn't like his lack of commitment. You know what I mean? That was always my thing with Derek Lewis. I never felt like I was hating on him. It's never that I didn't want him to win. It was that it bothered me his lack of commitment to the game. You know what I mean? Because I would want to see him be better. You know, you just want to see guys do better and like not have this like ignorance towards the health and towards their fighting ability and the cage and their cardio. It's like, you know, saying doesn't want to do 5-round fights, and it's like, you know, that's kind of like a, you know, there's a sense of ignorance with that. You know, it's like you just don't care. And I don't like guys who don't care. You know what I mean? I don't like, you know, if you don't care, why should I care? You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Derek Lewis, though, putting in the work, man. And it's better for, you know, his well-being overall. Never mind fighting. So shout out to him.
Yeah, man. You know, like I said, the only thing I worry about is his performance. You know, whether or not the losing that weight helps his performance or whether or not it hinders his performance. But we shall see. You know, I'm with you, man. Sometimes fighters, you got to switch things up. You know, sometimes you got to go outside your box, go to different gyms, go train with different people. You know, there's nothing with adding more tools to your toolbox in the fight game. More ways for you to win the fight than just one way. So I like it. But look, man, you got an issue. I think you got an issue with the way the UFC is not promoting Islam versus Volk. And then when I thought about it, I was like, man, I haven't seen a commercial I haven't seen a poster. I haven't seen anything concerning this fight. I got a theory of why, but what's your issue with them not promoting this on this event, Keys?
Well, my thing is this, bro. I mean, it hadn't. The first thought that I had was when I was talking to one of my boys that I watched fights with, and when I was like asking him about the fight, it didn't seem like he was excited, and I was like, okay, that's kind of strange. And then I brought it up, you know, to another one of my boys, and you know, it was like, okay, I didn't know, like, he didn't know when that was. So I'm like, okay, like, that's understandable, you know, not everybody knows. So then, but then after, it wasn't that. It was really, when I went to, you know, Twitter later in the day, whatever, I saw a post saying, like, and I think it was like, why is the UFC, like, doing all this to promote, you know, the Power Slap League and the Logan Paul drink or whatever it is, the collaboration drink that they dropped, and, you know, they're promoting the Power Slap, and they're not, like, you have the number one pound for pound versus the number two pound for pound, you know, one of the biggest fights ever, and there's no promotion. And I'm like, yo, that's a good point. Like, I had kind of, you know, I kind of suspected it, and it's definitely been weird. But until that dude brought that up, it hadn't really hit me until I read that, and I was like, you know what, you're right. I was like, I've been seeing an awful lot of promotion for this Power Slap thing, in which I'm not going looking for it. But that's when this something's being promoted heavily, you don't have to go look for it. You're gonna see it. That's what's weird about this is I shouldn't have to go looking for. We should be saying the same thing about this fight. You shouldn't have to go, if they're really pushing it, you shouldn't have to, and they're advertising it, you shouldn't need to go looking and searching for it to find the content and the promo and to see the trailer or whatever it is. So, you know, the hype video, you shouldn't need it. One of the biggest fights ever. You know what I mean? Number one versus number two. What's the excuse? Where's the promo? You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure this has only ever happened one other time in UFC history. If there has been another time, someone let me know when this has happened, number one versus number two, pound for pound. The only other time that it has happened, to my knowledge, I'm pretty sure, was John Jones versus Daniel Cormier, and that was number one versus number two at that time. That's the only other time that it has happened. If it's happened otherwise, then, like I said, let me know. But I'm pretty sure that was the only other time it's happened. And now here we are cycling back, and they're treating it like it's just like a regular fight. This is just like an average fight, two guys. It's like, bro, you have your featherweight champ moving up to fight the lightweight champ. Like, when you look at that, I mean, there's been instances of that happening, but not in the same way as this. Not at the level. Like, you could say, like, you know, when McGregor did it, he was a featherweight champ, moved up to fight. But that was a completely different scenario. That's not what this is. You know what I mean? This is number one versus number two, pound for pound. And it's Islam versus Volkanovski. Volkanovski is on track to probably be – he's probably on track to be the greatest featherweight ever, honestly. I mean, he's putting in the work right now and getting better at a rate where he could be the number one, you know. And Islam is, you know, we're still kind of seeing Islam roll out. He's just starting to fight, you know, he just fought Oliveira. He's just starting to fight like the top of the game. But Islam, you know, could very well be an all-time great as well. And I just don't understand how there's no promo for it. Like, we should be seeing all types of content about this. You should be seeing commercials and ads on YouTube or, you know, whatever. You know, it should be on the side of your screen when you're scrolling, and you know what I'm saying. And there should be a media event this week. You know what I mean? The fight's next week. Who cares? This should be this week. You know what I'm saying? Do an extra promo. Like, what about these cards where, you know, you had a press conference? I forget which one it was, but they did some kind of press conference, and it was like Adesanya, Dan Hooker, and like one or two other guys, and the card was like months ahead of that. Like, where's that for this? You know what I mean? You can't get like a Q&A or something. Get Islam and Volkanovski. I don't know, man. That's crazy to me. I feel like I should be. I'm very excited for it, but I feel like I should be even more excited for it. But they're not really pushing it, man. I don't know. What do you think about it?
The funny part is, I did see something but it was basically a hype video for Yair Rodriguez and Josh Emmett. It wasn't even about Islam and Volkanovski. The video I saw was basically hyping up the Yair Rodriguez Josh Emmett fight. But I think the issue with this fight is, Keys, I think a lot of people really, okay, you get one versus two. We get it. But Volkanovski automatically moving up to a new division, getting a title shot, I would rather see him fight somebody else in the top five at this weight to see whether or not he's worthy of a title shot. I think him going straight against Islam, you know, maybe that's the UFC way of saying, you know, he was a featherweight champ and la, 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 la. I just don't see how he beat Islam. I just don't see how he does it. I think Islam is what? He's definitely the taller man. He's about 4 inches. But Volkanovski got him by the reach advantage. So, but the rest of this card is basically trash to me. This card, you got Islam and Volk, Rodriguez and Emmett for the interim featherweight title. And then after that, maybe Crute versus Manifield is a good fight. I think Randy Brown is up here. But outside of that, this card doesn't excite me at all. I think it was a question on that was on our timeline on our joint account. Ask us, what do we think about this card? I was like, this is probably one I'm not going to buy. I might just go out and buy it. You know, I might just go out and go to Hooters or go to, Buffalo Wild Wings. But I'm just not excited about this card. I'm really not excited about this fight. But like you said, the UFC should be doing a better job of hyping this card. You do got number one pound for pound versus number two pound for pound. You do got Volkanovski moving up to try to be a champ. So I don't know why the UFC isn't promoting this card the way they should. And to be honest, I thought this card was in a month. This card is next week. So I don't know, man, but promoting Power Slap, man, I tried to watch that, bro. I can't get into it. It's just the weirdest thing to me, but Dana White is invested in it. So, you know, he got him a TV deal. So, yeah, he got to promote it. So, but I think he should be promoting the actual breadwinner of his promotions, and that's the UFC and the fights the UFC is putting on.
Yeah, I haven't tried to watch that thing. I don't even think I'll try to watch it because I have no interest in watching it. I think it's stupid. But besides that, I'm definitely excited for that fight, man, and I'm definitely excited for that card. I do think that they kind of screwed up with the main card. I don't understand, like, what they were thinking for the other three fights on that main card. Like, you have, like, that heavyweight fight, that's the featured fight. It's, like, that Parker Porter, or I think it's Parker Porter, something like that. He must be, like, an undefeated heavyweight coming up or something. There must be a reason, you know, because they have him in there versus, I forget the guy, who's kind of like a win-loss kind of fighter, and I don't really know.
Neither one of them undefeated.
Huh?
Neither one of them undefeated. Porter is 13-7, and Toff is 5-3.
All right, so yeah, I don't really know what the situation. So that makes it even more confusing. I figured the Porter guy would be some story with him, but if it's not, then I have no idea what they're doing. Those three fights, but you know the prelims, man. You just gotta watch the prelims. You know that's one of those things that I'm starting to realize that And it's starting to really hit me. Like, I watched the prelims for the last card, and then I didn't really watch the main card, and I still felt like I enjoyed that card. And the prelims were fun to watch, you know. And I think that's still something I'm starting to realize, is that you just got to watch the prelims, you know what I mean? You can't really, like, pick at it. Like, we'll go through it because, like, we analyze, and that's what we do on the show. But, like, realistically, like, the prelims just have bangers. Like, and sometimes they don't, but, like, a lot of times they do, and it doesn't really come down to name value, you know. You just kind of got to watch them, and then you end up, you know, having guys that you never heard of that put on the fight of the night, you know what I mean, and fights you really remember. So, you know, the prelims is what it is. But the main card, that's definitely, you know, some sad boy stuff. I don't know what they were thinking with those three other fights, but those two title fights, I'm definitely hyped to watch both of those. Those are going to be, you know, very exciting stuff, man. I just wish they'd do more promo for it.
Yeah, that's just weird that you got one versus two. And I haven't even seen a poster on Twitter, because, you know, normally the posters come out on Twitter and everybody is just, like, retweeting the poster. The poster ain't even came out, so that's kind of weird. But this little bit of news came out last week. And, oh, man. I was just, like, taken aback by it. But then when I brought it up to you, you say that basically it's confirmed. The Ultimate Fighter coaches would be Conor McGregor and Tony Ferguson. Now, both are big names. Both are big names in this sport. But both are on extended losing streaks. Do you have a problem with these two guys being named the coaches of the next season of the Ultimate Fighter?
I don't really know what they're going for with it. I mean, yeah, I guess I do. I mean, I think it's kind of weird that that's what my mind goes to, is I don't really know what they're doing with it. I mean, I'm not. It's two guys that, like, I don't know why now is the time to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have thought you would have done this, like, back when Ferguson was the interim champ and literally called out McGregor on the mic after that. Like, why do it now? Saying, like, it would have made sense to do it then. Like, have your interim champ and your champ be the coaches. Like, that would have made sense. But, like, now it's like you said, both dudes on losing streaks. Both really haven't looked good. Both dudes have been finished, you know. And Tony's been just getting finished, like, almost every fight. It's, like, it's just kind of sad at this point. I don't really know, man. I guess I kind of do have a problem with it, but I know that it would be good TV, would be good entertainment. I would definitely watch the season. So that's half of it. But then the other half is, really, does it make sense? Not really. I don't know why, especially where Ferguson has just been looking really bad, man. I don't know why you would put, because I just don't think him and McGregor are on the same level of washness, you know what I mean? Washness. You know what I mean? Like, they're just not on the same level of washness. Like, Ferguson is washed, you know what I'm saying? Like, the way he looked for his Diaz, man, I was like, oh my goodness. Like, this is terrible, you know what I mean? He just looked really bad. He looked so, like, slow. It was just like, I still appreciated the fight. I was still pumped. I still was happy to watch it. But I was just like, from an objective standpoint, like, this, they just both, like, looked really bad, man. They both looked washed. And it was just, it was kind of, like, sad. But to put him versus McGregor at this point, like, yeah, McGregor lost to Poirier. But I still think McGregor's, like, probably a notch or two, maybe even three notches fresher than Ferguson, man. And I just think doing this is, like, I feel like some people might disagree, man, but I feel like they're kind of feeding Tony to Conor, man. That's what it kind of seems like to me. And I don't really like that, because, like, Ferguson versus McGregor at this stage, like, I don't know, man. Ferguson just he just hasn't looked himself in a while, man. I don't really like him taking a big fight like that at this time, you know. Like, years ago would have been cool, but I was talking about Ferguson fighting like an unranked guy, you know what I mean? Now you want him to fight McGregor? It's like, oh, my God, man. This I don't really like it, bro. I don't really like it.
I'm thinking, right, what weight class are they going to fight at? Are they fighting at 155 or are they fighting at 170? I guess that hasn't come out yet, but I think that does make a difference also. Can Conor get down to 155? You know? But I'm with you, man. I'm not feeling this. I thought The Ultimate Fighter was always about guys that were either in the title picture or a champion versus an upcoming challenger, you know, something like that. But the hot guys that's on multi-fight losing streaks, both, you know, with fans thinking, are they done? I think the trash talk will be good, but the fight itself is like, ugh. Like you said, like Tony's last fight, I just thought his corner was just coaching him to lose. Why would you want to take Nate Diaz down? One thing about Nate Diaz, we all know that he can fight off his back. Your best fight, your best thing in that fight was to keep the fight on his feet, you know, hoping that Nate get bored and, you know, Tony could land some shots because he wasn't going to knock Nate out. So, then Ferguson, what, he was beating Chandler. And then got caught with a front kick to the face, KO. I'm just not amped about it, bro. I can't remember the last time I seen The Ultimate Fighter anyway. But, oh, man, this is bad, Keith. To me, this is bad. I would have had, you know, maybe you had time to do Jones versus Gane. Maybe you could do, you know, somebody's fighting sometime down the road. But, man, this fight is, oh, man. I mean, Tony is going to get a healthy payday. You know, he's going to get a nice payday out of this. Oh, man. This is where we at, Keys. We got Conor McGregor and Tony Ferguson as the Ultimate Fighter champions, and both fighters are on extended losing streaks and have not looked good in a long, long time. That's where we at, buddy. Thank you, UFC.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That one just seems years past its moment, you know what I'm saying? They're just doing this so late, and I just don't understand, like, why now? And then why would it be McGregor and Ferguson, you know what I'm saying? Like, why? I just don't know, man. I mean, maybe they think, like, that's the only guy. Because, and the thing that's even, you can't even, like, it would already be a poor excuse, but you can't even justify it with the rankings. I'm pretty sure both those guys have been taken out of the rankings. Like, you don't even know what you're doing with that. I don't even know what's happening, bro. They're just throwing shit at the wall and hoping it sticks, man. And it will, you know. They'll do that, and, you know, it'll do its numbers. People will watch it. I'll be watching it, and I don't even watch The Ultimate Fighter. But, you know, it makes no sense. You know what I mean? That to lead up to that fight makes no sense, because that fight makes no sense. There's no reason to have those two guys fight at this point. Like, it's I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well, you got to look at it. When you look at it from a business point, Conor McGregor still is a draw. You know, regardless of he's lost 5 fights in a row, 10 fights in a row, he's still going to be a draw. Now, me personally, I would have rather the other guy on the other side at least be on a 3-fight winning streak or a 4-fight winning streak, you know, instead of a guy that's on a losing streak. That way, you know, the other guy will be like, when the last time you want to fight, Conor, you know. And both these guys, hey, at least my losing streak ain't longer than yours. I'm just saying, man, but I get it. The UFC is a business, and Conor is one of their biggest draws, and that's why you do it. But I just think you put somebody on the other side that's probably on a winning streak or coming off a big win or something like that, rather than having a guy that's on the losing streak also. But we know how the UFC work. They're all about, you know, the business side. And they're all about satisfying the casual fans, fans' needs, man. You know, us old-timers, us diehard UFC fans, you know, all days of being pleased by the UFC are over. It's all about the casuals. It's all about making fights that basically have nothing to do with the rankings. So, but I will be happy to see Conor back in the octagon. You know, especially coming off on that injury he had in the Poirier fight. But I just don't know what the UFC does with him after this fight. I definitely don't know what they do with Ferguson if he loses. Is Ferguson cut? Is he gonna retire? I mean, wow. So there's a lot of things to be determined, bro. Off of the Ultimate Fighter main event. Wow. But hey, Keith, we got this wasn't one of the things we brought up. But I know this probably, I know when you saw this, I know you got pissed off. I know you got pissed off. And I was pissed off when I saw it, too. Why in the hell is Gilbert Burns fighting Jorge Masvidal? Please explain that to me, Keith.
Yo, man, you know that, like, that's probably one of my least favorite guys, man. And the whole thing. Like that, I cannot. You know, man, I'm no Masvidal fan, bro. He's no Masvidal fan. I'm gonna keep it real. I'm really not. And Gilbert Burns, I don't know, man. I know those two dudes were talking trash to each other leading up to before they announced the Neil Magny fight, and then Burns went and just beat Neil Magny. And okay, so but those dudes were talking a lot of trash to each other like the couple months before that. And then I think they were trying to lock it in, and it didn't happen. And then he fought Neil Magny, and then now somehow they made it happen. Wow. But are you thinking that, like, they're pretty much – all right, I'm trying to figure this out because, like, when you look at it, it's like, okay, Masvidal – because I didn't even think it past that. I only thought of, like, okay, they were talking trash to each other. They just made that fight. Okay, cool. Plus, it's a guy that – you know, strategically they can give to Masvidal that isn't like a super heavy wrestler like the dude that he, like Covington and Usman, you know. Gilbert Burns obviously has the wrestling. Gilbert Burns has pretty much a little bit of everything. And but he's, you know, more stand-up heavy, he's more submission heavy. You know, he's more into those aspects. He's more into the grappling. But and even then, I mean, Masvidal really shouldn't want to be fighting a guy that's, you know, has great grappling either, you know. But it's, you know, it is what it is. I don't really know. I think they just because Burns, you know, they see Burns fighting with Khamzat and, you know, he stands the banks for 15 minutes. Maybe they're hoping, you know, Masvidal. I don't know, man. I don't know. The answer to your question is I don't know. I don't know what they're trying to do with that one, man. I don't know, man. I'm over here trying to justify it. I don't know, bro. Don't look at me, bro. I don't know. I don't know, man. They're trying to bring Masvidal back to life, man. I think that might be what they're doing, bro.
Man, look. Now, if they would have said Gilbert Burns versus Colby Covington, I would have been all in for that fight. Now, I think that fight is a bank. When I saw it was Jorge Masvidal, bro, it was like somebody just throat punched me and I couldn't breathe for about 3 minutes. I was like, wow, this fight makes no sense. It makes no sense at all, especially for Gilbert Burns. What does Gilbert Burns have to gain from beating Jorge Masvidal? Not a damn thing. He gains nothing by beating Masvidal. But he does lose his spot on the ladder if he loses. Man, well, once again, Jorge Masvidal has placed himself or talked himself into a fight that I don't think he can win, but he's going to get paid yet again off this fight. And I would be surprised, Keith, I would be surprised if this fight lasts more than 3 rounds. If this fight lasts more than 3 rounds, I'll be surprised. I think it's going to be like a co-main event. I think it'll be a co-main event, I think.
Yeah, they're saying co-main event for that card.
Yeah, so I don't know why not they're going to do a five-rounder. I don't think Jorge Masvidal stands a chance against Gilbert Burns. I don't think Gilbert Burns is going to try to stand the bang with Masvidal. I think he's going to do Masvidal like he did Neil Magny, man. He's going to come up in there, and he's going to go ahead and try to get him out there as fast as possible. But I don't see the reasoning behind this matchmaking. I don't even see the purpose behind this fight. The only person that gained anything off this fight is Jorge Masvidal if he wins. Outside of that, Gilbert Burns don't gain nothing if he wins because he's supposed to win. So, yeah, bro, I don't know. This fight just really, really bothered me. And I was like, man, wow. But, you know, I guess Jorge Masvidal is a name. Gilbert Burns is an up-and-coming name. So, that's all I got on that, man. It's just, I think I'm becoming more and more irritated with the matchmaking these days. I think I'm becoming more and more irritated with the matchmaking. You know, the matchmaking ain't making sense the way it used to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's at this. Well, all right. Instead of me stating anything, I ask you, what do you think's the main problem? What do you think's the main thing that has you like, damn, this is disappointing. This is disappointing. What do you think's the main thing that they're kind of doing over and over?
I think my main issue is this. Most of the fights normally make sense, you know. Most of the fights only make sense. We got this guy fighting this guy. We got this guy fighting this guy. Like, we got Corey Sanhagen about to fight Chito Vera. I like that fight. We got John Jones about to fight Cyril Gane. I like that fight. I would have rather had Islam fight another, you know, lightweight as his first title defense. And I would have rather had Volkanovski fight a true lightweight with him joining the division. But some of these fights they're putting together, man, it just don't add up to me, man. I don't like this Tony Ferguson, Conor McGregor. I definitely don't like this Gilbert Burns and Jorge Masvidal. What was another fight that I don't know how the hell they came up with Yair Rodriguez and Josh Emmett for the interim featherweight title belt. I don't know how they came up with that. Where Tony Ferguson is undefeated against everybody else in the division outside of Volkanovski. But I kind of understand that. They don't want Tony to have an interim belt just in case Volkanovski come back down. I understand that. Man, but this, man, some of these fights, bro, what are we doing? The rankings don't even matter no more, basically. I think you said that about, in the middle of last year, that the rankings basically are out the window. So I think I'm finally on board with you on that.
Oh, yeah, man. The rankings are out the window.
Yeah, so I think I'm on board with you on that one.
Yeah, now the rank has been out the window, man. I mean, at this point now, it just comes down to, like, what was the first thing I said when you brought that up? Was like, those two guys have been talking trash to each other, and that's why they did it. Like, that was my justification for the fight. Like, that was my, you didn't hear from me any, like, oh, well, you know, Masvidal's number 5 and Gilbert's number 7. Like, no, because I know that that's not even, it has nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? It's just they were talking trash to each other a couple months before, and then Gilbert took another fight, and then now, okay, they got it done. That's all that is.
Well, if that was the case, damn, they couldn't make Leon Edwards versus Jorge Masvidal about 2 years ago. But just because he's talking trash to Gilbert Burns, oh, wow, we can make this fight. Man, come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, the Leon Edwards, I just think that back then they wanted to try to say that Leon Edwards wasn't, they wanted to say that he wasn't a draw. You know, they wanted to say it wasn't a big fight, which you could argue that, you know, they might have just been ducking Leon at that time. That's what I might have just been ducking the fight with Leon, you know, and using that as an excuse to not fight him.
Yeah, I just think, you know, even the Shevchenko thing, I think we talked about last week. Why is she rematching Taya Santos? That was her toughest fight in about 2 years. So basically, you're going to get her another fight. You're going to make Santos go out and fight somebody else, or make Santos win 2 more fights. Why not rematch her and Shevchenko? That's another thing that irritates the hell out of me. And then you're going to let Amanda Nunes make, now she's a matchmaker. I think the girl that beat her, she is going to fight Aldana, and then the winner gets to fight her. What? When we start doing this? Man, come on, man. But look, man, we had a great show tonight, man. I think we voiced a lot of grievances tonight.
Yeah, we did bring it. Yeah, we were just straight up complaining, bro. we were straight up, you know, this was the complaint box for this show, man. Hey, it is what it is. I haven't had any dinner yet, man. That's a part of it. I'm a little bit, you know, my mood is off. You know what I mean? That's my bad to contribute into the complaint box. You know what I mean?
Well, I think sometimes, you know, we do have to pull out the negative in the sport. Everything ain't always roses. Everything ain't always on the up and up. So I think for our show, we pride ourselves on being objective. And sometimes when you being objective, you also got
not a positive.
Yeah, everything ain't positive. So, hey, we got a lot of grievances out tonight. So, any last words for the people?
Well, the thing I want to know is this. This will be my last word. Is what happened to Aldana fighting Nunes? I thought that was the fight. Now she's fighting Raquel Pennington.
They said something that the negotiations broke down. And that Nunes suggested that Pennington and Aldana fight, and she'll fight the winner of that. And I'm sitting up here like, when do we allow fighters to be matchmakers? You know, this ain't pro wrestling where you come out and get on the mic and you know, talk some trash about somebody. They come through the curtain, their music hit, and you bring a ref to the – nah, that ain't how the UFC works. So I just didn't like that at all. I thought Aldana is getting screwed over in this and in disrespect because she done her thing. Pennington lost.
Man, I don't think she should need to take another fight, bro. But, I mean, also, I just don't even care. I mean, Aldana, I'll probably be watching that card that Aldana's fighting on. I mean, besides if it's a fight night, I don't always watch fight nights. But if she's on the pay-per-view, I'm probably going to be watching it regardless. And I just wish she would fight Nunes, though. That would have been a dope fight. And that's and the other thing I want to say, and then we'll talk about this next week because I just remembered that this was something that I saw earlier this week, and I wanted to get to it. Leon Edwards, I didn't get to hear him say it, but a lot of people are saying that Leon Edwards was on a live or something, and he's saying that Usman is not really that good. Usman is not that good. And it's like, bro, what?
Oh, my God. You got the luckiest, flukiest win ever. You was getting your ass handed to you in that fight. Man, what are you talking about, dog? But I guess you have to hype yourself up to believe what it is you need to believe to give yourself a quote-unquote maybe an advantage.
That's what I'm saying, man, because these guys, yo, I'm telling you, when these guys become champions, they just become delusional. Like, a lot of these guys, it's like the belt gets to their head very quick. Like, they go from that, you know, name, and then now they're the champion. And I think that the money and then maybe, like, the level of notoriety and you know, maybe and notoriety and fame that they gain from now being a champion, they're going to do, you know, shows and everyone wants to know the champion. I think it goes to these guys' head a little bit because, like, for him to come out and say that is just – I get the point of selling it, but I don't know, man. That just sounds highly delusional, bro. It's like you have no idea Usman is going to wipe the floor with you. You're going to get smashed to pieces in that trilogy in front of all your people, man. Leon Edwards is going to get smashed to pieces in that fight. And you know what? I won't be surprised if we come up and Leon Edwards starts talking about a different fight. He's going to say Usman's not that good. I hope he keeps saying that. Usman's not that good. He's going to start talking about fighting Bilal Muhammad, or he's going to start talking about moving up to 185 and fighting whoever the hell is at 185. He's going to start talking about getting a second belt. You know what I mean? Here we go. He's going into full delusion mode, and he's going to get absolutely smashed to pieces. Usman is going to destroy him in front of all his people, and that's going to be tough to watch, man. It's going to be a bad, bad night for the UK overall, bro. It's going to be a very bad, bad time for them. So let the delusion continue. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Another fight that we didn't talk about, we'll get to it next week, is they announced Cejudo versus Aljamain Sterling. So we'll talk about that one next week.
Oh, when's that?
So that was announced last week. I'm trying to look it up right now. Hold up. Yeah, that was on the ESPN page. We talked about Jan and Divas Vili a while ago. Yeah, we'll talk about it next week. But yeah, they did say it's gonna be Henry Cejudo versus Aljamain Sterling for Sterling's belt. And I think I commented on that on our Twitter page because when I saw it, I was like, man, I gotta reply to this. This is gonna be something. But yeah, man, you know, we had a good show tonight. We definitely voiced our grievances tonight. Actually, it was a pretty good time, to be honest. I guess my man Keys don't have any. Henry Cejudo opens as underdog against UFC bantamweight Aljamain Sterling. Sterling is -120. Cejudo is +100. I mean, that's still kind of close to being a pick 'em. I don't have the fight date up here, though. Because I said I don't like cringe-worthy Cejudo, but his talent is undeniable. Whoever can win the striking game will win this fight since both are phenomenal on the ground. So, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to that fight, man. But, you know, we kind of went over. I'll go ahead and close the show out. Lynn Keys, Real Talk, Wednesday Night Fire, you know, 8:30. Be back next week. Everybody have a good weekend. Take care of yourself. Take care of others. That being said, we always in the fight, always in the show with a peace.